In Rochelle Bergstein's new book, The Genius of Judy, how Judy Blume rewrote childhood for all of us, Blume's remarkable story is revealed, beginning with her life as a young mother of two, searching for purpose outside of her home in 1960s suburban New Jersey. The books she wrote starred regular children with genuine thoughts and problems, but behind those deceptively simple tales, Blume explored the pillars of the growing women's rights movement, in which girls and women were entitled to careers, bodily autonomy, fulfilling relationships, even sexual pleasure. Blume wasn't trying to be a revolutionary. She just wanted to tell honest stories. But in doing so, she created a cohesive, culture-altering vision of modern adolescence. Blume's bravery in pursuing her literary dreams provoked backlash, making her the country's most banned author in the mid-1980s. Thankfully, her works withstood those culture wars, and it's no coincidence that Blume has resurfaced as a cultural touchstone now. Rochelle Bergstein is a lifestyle writer, author, and editor focused on style, pop culture, and families. The new book, The Genius of Judy, How Judy Blume Rewrote Childhood for All of Us. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Rochelle Bergstein to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here.
Very nice to have you here. I greatly enjoyed this book, and it was an awful lot of fun and very fascinating and interesting to read about Judy Blume and the really what she was about and has accomplished throughout her career. What drew you to her as a subject?
Well, thank you for saying that. It was fun for me too. I loved Judy Blume as a child, like so many young readers did, and I thought of her as a potential topic and couldn't get the idea out of my head. Selfishly, her books were something I really wanted to spend time with. So I went back and I grabbed a copy of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And I was struck by how timeless it felt. It has certainly some 70s flourishes because it was published in 1970, but I was really impressed by how well it captures the awkwardness and kind of amazing journey of being a prepubescent girl, even now. So once I read that, I realized that, Judy is still so relevant today, and it was something I wanted to explore.
I recently, maybe within the last year and a half, went back and read all of the books again, and it had been some time. And what you just said is what struck me is how timeless they are, of how well they hold up. And I think it's to something, and I assume you agree, that I mentioned in the introduction, is that these are timeless things that all kids are going through. They're very simple tales, deceptively simple. And they just bring you into that time and moment that quite frankly, even as you age, doesn't really leave you.
Absolutely. I love that you went back and read those books. And Judy said she was inspired to write about that time in her life because it felt so poignant to her still as an adult. And I think you're right. Those memories of that bizarre moment when you're transitioning from childhood to an adult, they stick with you for your entire life. So yes, she captured something that honestly, very few writers before her had been able to capture, which was the magic of that moment.
What do you think it was about the honesty that struck her? And it was something that we've had her on the show. I've interviewed her. I've been lucky enough to spend time with her. And it seems as though she will just say, I was writing about my experience. But there is that time where you realize, okay, but you're the only one. I mean, this is no one else is doing what you're doing. Why is that the case?
Yes. I mean, that's wonderful that you had her on the show. And Judy Blume is now 86 years old, and she's maintained through her entire career that she wasn't trying to be a firebrand. She just wanted to tell the stories that she wanted to tell. But as you said, she was the first one to tackle subjects like puberty, like menstruation, like divorce, like losing one's virginity in books for children. So, you know, whether or not she wants to give herself credit for it, there's a great deal of bravery involved in that, I think.
Do you think that part of the allure for us as kids while we were reading this book was that there also was just, yes, they were honest, but I mean, I'm, you know, I started reading her in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was just like they were just a little bit naughty, too. I mean, that was like, you know, there were sometimes you even needed parental permission in the library. And it was funny. And yet there's something alluring to that.
Absolutely. And, you know, Judy has said that once you ban a book, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into this, but once you ban a book, you're actually making it even more alluring to kids, right?
Sure.
Because if you tell a kid they can't do something, they immediately want to do it. I have an 8-year-old and I can attest to that. But, you know, I think besides the fact that she was covering some of these quote unquote naughty topics like sexuality, she also was letting her protagonists, the children in her books, just be real kids. And real kids aren't always good, you know, and real parents aren't always good. Real parents make mistakes. So she was portraying these families where everyone was just being their real, honest selves. And they were, you know, kids are getting into fights. Kids treat their parents badly and then feel bad about it. Parents make mistakes. And, you know, it's clear in the books that they're not always right. So these were actually really cutting edge decisions editorially that she was making at the time.
Cutting edge decisions, too. And one of the things that you noted in the book that I noted in while reading recently is that I think it's easy to make the parents look stupid, right? It's easy to say, okay, well, these are dumb parents and the kids are smarter. She never did that. She looked at these, at the parents and the real problems that the parents were having at the same time she was looking at the problems the kids were having.
Yeah, when you say that, I think of a book like Matilda, which was written before Judy Blume's books came out.
Right.
And, you know, Matilda is a wonderful, genius child, and her parents are such, you know, unbelievable slobs, you know, like
right.
It's comical how awful her parents are.
Roald Dahl.
And Roald Dahl, exactly. But the parents in Judy Blume's books aren't like that. You know, they are not always perfect, but they're often quite well-intentioned. And like so many real parents, they want the best for their children. They love their children, but they have things going on in their own personal lives that make them mess up sometimes.
You write in the book about her fame, and there's a line going into that chapter that said, one day there's going to be Judy Blume tampons. How did she address her fame and deal with it? Because it really seemed that in the documentary about her and in your book, you just get a sense that she always remained connected to kids.
Yes, I think all Judy Blume really wanted was to write books. You know, she wanted to sit at her typewriter and tell stories and make herself laugh and make kids laugh. But of course, she became more and more famous throughout her career. And by the 1980s, she was a brand. I talk about in the book, her name was just kind of like one quick exhalation, like Judy Blume, the Judy Blume. And companies wanted to capitalize on that. So the quote that you said, one day there are going to be Judy Blume's tampons, was actually something her son said as a joke, because she was approached by so many brands to slap her name on things, whether it was a pair of jeans or a Judy Blume board game, which she thought was just a horrible idea. And, you know, of course, she was known as someone who talked frankly about puberty. So her son was teasing her that someone was going to want to market Judy Blume tampons.
You write in the book about Wifey, and that was a novel that came out in 1978. It was a time of her divorce, but it was her first real foray into adult novels. I thought it was really interesting that you, in writing about it, you talk about how Judy Blume was perhaps the only one who wasn't worried about kids not making the distinction that this was an adult novel versus a book that she had been writing for children, that this was something that they would even perhaps look over because it was not for them. And I think what happened and what was exciting about it was that many of us grew into that novel, and that was what was so cool about it, was that we knew that there was one waiting for us as we grew.
Yeah, so again, to talk about Judy Blume's bravery, Wifey is a very sexually explicit book for adults. It's very funny. It's a real page-turner. It's a great read. But her team was quite concerned that putting the name Judy Blume on a book like that was going to be bad for her and her brand. People were worried that kids would see the name Judy Blume on the cover of a paperback and think, oh, this is a book for me. And then, you know, their eyes would pop out of their skull as they read some of the things that the character Sandy was doing and going through. But Judy Blume, as you said, she always trusted kids to make decisions for themselves. And what she would say in defense was, kids might take Wifey off the shelf. They might page through it, and they're going to instantly realize it's not for them. It's not going to interest them. If you pick up something that's not at your level and you start paging through it, you realize very quickly that this doesn't hold your interest and you put it back down. So Judy Blume was not worried about her name being on an adult book. She thought, you know, I'm going to write what I want to write. I'm going to tell the stories I want to tell. My audience is going to find me. And like you said, eventually maybe grow into this book.
In 1981, you have the quote in your book, the Washington Post described her books as, quote, a scatological and soft porn cinema verite of childhood, of puberty, of growing up. And I'm curious as to, I mean, that's harsh, obviously.
Yes, it's spicy.
Of how you overcome that, how she was able to overcome that really at the height of her career. And again, yes, she was speaking to kids, but it's still the parents who would often be the ones who would bring them to the bookstore and purchase the books for them.
Yeah, there are really two critiques that go into that quote that you read. One, which followed Judy Blume from almost the moment she started publishing, which was that she wasn't literary. And that really meant that she wasn't a flowery writer. She was a very simple writer. And that, you know, the literary gatekeepers would say that she wrote almost like it was a shopping list. You know, they didn't respect her style. So that's one thing. And then, of course, the content that she chose to write about, it increasingly got her into trouble in the late 70s and early 80s. It's really interesting, and I talk about this in my book. She published some of her most controversial novels in the 70s. So Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret came out in 1970. Dini, which talks about masturbation, came out in 1973. Forever, which shows a high school couple losing their virginity, came out in 1975. And these books were mildly controversial. It was something, you know, reviewers talked about, but there wasn't a kind of cultural backlash against her until later in the 1970s when a more conservative movement started gaining ground in the country. That's when the Moral Majority sprang up, when Phyllis Schlafly started the Eagle Forum. And that's really when she became someone that people looked down upon as, you know, someone who was corrupting children by bringing this content into children's books. That was really difficult for her. Of course, she didn't see it coming. Nobody likes being called a corrupter of children, especially when you've devoted your entire career to entertaining children. So it really depressed her for a time. I think she felt very blindsided, and she eventually teamed up with an organization called the National Coalition Against Censorship, which still exists, and they helped her kind of fight her way back from where she was, which was kind of backed into a corner by conservatives.
Speaking of conservatives, you have her, you tell the story of her appearing with Pat Buchanan on CNN and him going after her on Crossfire. And she held her own, but you also see that she was suffering and was isolated and alone after appearances like that because of how people misunderstood what she was doing.
Yes, Happy Cannon accused her on that show on live television of being obsessed with masturbation, which is, I'm sure, really embarrassing. Now she did bite back. She said, "You know, you're obsessed with masturbation. It's one scene in one book, and I have a whole oeuvre of work, and you're zeroing in on this page that you have paperclipped." So she did manage to come off very tough, but yes, inside it was a different story. She. Again, being called a pornographer when you're a children's book writer is a horrible feeling. Just, you know, ask any writers that are being banned today. It's the same thing. So she really needed support. And again, you know, finding people who were fighting back against banned books during that time in her career was really hugely helpful to her.
When you look at this book of The Genius of Judy, what is the what is it that you hope you leave readers with? Obviously, there's a nostalgia here, and there's also some context to what many of us remember and now, you know, of how we remember it and can put it more into a context. But what ultimately do you hope you achieve?
I guess it's two things. I really wanted to give Judy Blume her laurels and, you know, contextualize why she has withstood the culture wars, why we all look back on Judy Blume with such fondness when many of her contemporary writers like Norma Klein, who I write about, like Betty Miles, have kind of receded into history a little bit. So that was part of it. And then also, you know, inspired by Judy, I got very passionate about, you know, the anti-censorship movement. And the other thing I would want people to come away thinking reading this book is just let the kids read, let the kids have their books. Let them connect to stories, let them learn from them, because it's such an important part of development.
The name of the book, The Genius of Judy, How Judy Blume Rewrote Childhood for All of Us. The book is published by Atria. Rochelle Bergstein, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to speak to you. Thank you.
A great pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Be well.
You too.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.